The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this third day of March 2023. And tonight we have on the board none other than Courageous Craig, our producer.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, and live here in the studio, I have none other than Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder, he's well-known, nationally known author, nationally known co-founder of Cops for Christ International, known as a statesman. How am I doing?
A scholar and a gentleman.
Keep it going. Now, don't stop.
Okay. A very, very scholarly gentleman. All right. Okay. Did I do okay tonight?
Yeah, you did a good job, Pastor Ernie. Thank you very much.
He told me to be nice to him today when I introduced him. So there you go. Okay. Poor Ron. All Ron got was just his name. Well, why don't you say something really nice about Ron?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, he loves the Lord, and his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life.
There you go. That's good.
All right. That's good.
Perfect.
That'll work. Tonight, I just want to announce, too, that this coming Sunday, right after the morning service at 1 p.m., we're going to have a memorial service for Kevin Miller. Kevin was one of our men who loved the Lord. His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, too, and Kevin always had a real servant's spirit. He would show up early. He would pick up in the morning and drive someone who was not able to drive very early. He would have to leave his house at about 5 o'clock in the morning to get out.
Away.
Yeah, and then, well, I'll tell you who he picked up so everybody knows. Little Lisa. Little Lisa is not able to drive, so Kevin would pick her up and have her to church, and she'd be there by 7 o'clock. And so, and whenever he came in, if it was snowing out, and I said, Kevin, somebody's got to shovel the stairs. He would shovel the walk and the stairs. If we had a bunch of packages that were delivered, heavy packages, Kevin would always pick them up. Never, no matter what I asked him to do, he never said no and never complained. He had a real servant's heart. And so now he's gone home to be with his master. But here's the thing. Just the prior week to that, we were talking about, we sang that song, When I Get to Heaven. And he was saying, Pastor, I can't wait. You know, I can't get there soon enough. He said, I'm not feeling good. And he was right. He wasn't feeling good. He died in his sleep. So we're going to have the memorial service for him. At Doors of the Word Baptist Church, for all you folks who love Kevin Miller. And again, like I said, we our most sincere condolences for his family and friends. And that will be at 1 p.m. at Doors of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio, this coming Sunday. All right. The title of the message was Things That They Say God Got Wrong. Things That They Say God Got Wrong. John, we showed a film in the church just prior to this message so people could see where I'm coming from. And then it was from the Church of England, John. And you had these three bishops, Sarah Mahaley, apostate Stephen Cantrell, and apostate Justin Welby. And they were talking about things, how God got things wrong, especially where it came to sexuality and marriage. And Sarah was saying how the Holy Spirit she had been talking to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit agreed with them over the Bible.
There's a schism now.
Yeah. And so then we also went and showed another one of the apostates who we referred to over in Romans chapter 12, where it talked about not being conformed to the world and talked about the renewing of your mind. And in that case, he was talking about the renewing of your mind means to catch up with what is happening today, to be ready to change your mind about teachings of the Bible. In other words, be willing to accept things that God has declared sin, that now the times have changed so we can accept them, like LGBTQ, and abortion and other sins. This is what the apostate church was teaching, which literally is the church of Satan. And that individual was from the Church of the United Church of the Antichrist. And so we covered marriage, when the first divine institution was marriage in a family. And we covered that, what God has said in the Bible compared to what they say, okay? And so we went through what marriage is. Today we're going to pick it up with the second thing, and I don't think we'll have time to get through the third. The second thing they said God got wrong was, again, sexuality. And so we're going to start tonight in Philippians chapter 3. So would you go ahead and read verses 1 and 2, Ron?
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision.
Well, the reference to dogs there was not four-legged canines, but two-legged sodomites. Four times in Scripture, sodomites are what they call today homosexuals, or LGBT would be referred to, according to God, the Word of God, as dogs. And the reason for that is dogs were one of the most despised creatures in the Eastern world, in the Mideast there. And so in several places, four places, in fact, they're referred to as dogs. Now here, when he's referring to evil workers, well, I would just say to the entire Democratic woke collective, the entire Democratic woke collective would be evildoers today. They are Antichrist, and the official, unofficial religion now of the Democratic Party is Satanism.
Well, yeah.
They've embraced Satanism now. And then the concision is, of course, those were the Judaizers who were trying to force Gentile Christians to be circumcised and had no concept of the spiritual significance that once had been attached to circumcision, and which was now fulfilled in spiritual circumcision. In other words, John, they were of the circumcision of the flesh. The Judaizers said, well, grace by grace and keeping the law. But if you kept, if you believed in Christ, and then you were able to keep the law. So they mixed grace and law in order to achieve salvation. What do you think?
Well, the book of Galatians, Pastor Ernie, Paul wrote that book really describing what you just said, and that you're not to mix it, really. You're saved by grace, and there's nothing that we can add or do to provide eternal life. It's all by what Jesus Christ did on the cross.
So Paul referred to it as the religion of the Jews, did he not?
Yeah.
John, would you go to 1 Kings chapter 14 and read me verse 24? It's 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 24.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Would you do this? Just read me 21 through 24, because it makes more sense.
And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy, and their sins which they had committed above all of their fathers had done. And they also built them high places and images and groves and every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel.
Now here we see what today... When he's referring to the high places and the groves, that's where they sacrifice their children. And today, that would be the sin of abortion, would it not be?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. They were called the prophets of the grove. They called them there, and that's where they had images to Moloch and the pagan gods. They committed all sorts of debauchery there. It was all throughout the land where they were doing that.
Now, the pagan nations of the Canaanites of Canaan, God had wiped them out, and because of being an abomination to him, and because they considered sodomy, as normal behavior. What nation today, what nation that has a great part of the population considers sodomy to be a normal behavior?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I'm thinking of the United States jumps out in my mind. I mean, we're getting real close to it in the political realm. But there's quite a few there now. Australia, Great Britain, Sweden, and those Denmark.
Canada.
Yeah, I think, did I say Canada? I meant to say
no. Okay, so, yeah. But here in the United States, the entire Democratic Communist concession believes they embrace the sin of sodomy. In fact, they actually prefer LGBTQ. They actually prefer the sin of sodomy over a normal heterosexual relation, don't they?
Well, this is what I found with them, Pastor Ernie. If you say you're going to get married and it's a heterosexual marriage, right, they don't have any problem with that. The problem is if you say marriage is only between a man and a woman, that's when they will not accept that. They go ballistic over that.
All right, so what about whoredom today? Do they consider whoredom here? With hot wives, with open marriages, with, I'm trying to think of some of the new things they have for adultery and fornication, the new names that they have. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, would you read me, Ron, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 17 and 18?
There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both of these are abomination unto the Lord thy God.
In other words, so the point he's making is not to take for a whore to take her money that she got in her whoredom, okay, and take it into the house of the Lord and tithe it, or the price of a sodomite, which is a dog. He said the price of a dog, which is, again,
that's a direct correlation.
Yeah. Into the house of God. So today, when the United Church of the Antichrist, you know, they accept every kind of sin there is. So when people go in there whores and sodomites, and they go in there and they say, look, we're here for you to tickle our ears, and we want you to condone our sin of pedophilia, of sodomy, of whatever the sin is. We're here. You tickle our ears, you apostate preachers, and we'll put money in that offering plate. Is that the way it works?
No, they're too willing to oblige.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think about all that, Mr. McTernan?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I mean, very, very quickly, the nation is slipping towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jude 7 warns about this. In fact, let me turn to it. Also, 2 Peter chapter 2. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So God is only going to allow this to go so long, Pastor Ernie, and then he'll judge nations. Well, you have to go back, I think, maybe beyond ancient Rome and Greece with the decadence, go all the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, where we're heading right now, Pastor. And the nations will be judged by the Lord that do this.
Okay, so in Sodom and Gomorrah, they couldn't find 10 righteous men, could he?
No.
Okay.
That's the interaction between God and Abraham. Abraham said, would you spare the city for 10 righteous? He said he would.
So we're not quite there yet, then. I mean, we can at least, and we're talking as a nation. I don't know how many righteous people you can find in this nation, but I praise the good Lord for that small percentage that, well, it's. I would say that those that have a profession of faith in Christ, that the highest I would say would be 30% are for real. I would say no more than 10% of those in the pulpit, the pastors today, are actually saved. What would you say, John?
It's very interesting, Pastor Ernie. Just kind of another angle from what you're saying. The ones that do surveys, they said that about 50 to 60% of the people read the King James. And sometimes they'll read the King James in another Bible, but they do rely on the King James. When it's down to the preachers, it's 10%, Pastor.
That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Okay, here now, let me ask you this.
So the sheep, Pastor Ernie, are paying more attention than the shepherds.
Yeah, I know. And so here, and I hear that. I mean, I get letters every single day from people, and they're all begging if I have any information, a church close to their house where they're an actual unregistered New Testament church, where the pastor is as bold. See, if you know, the Bible says that if God has put the pastor in a pulpit, the pastor will be as bold as a lion. And so many of these pulpits now today, you've got kind of really effeminized neo-evangelical preachers. They're really not very manly. And then you've got the prosperity church out there today, and of course you have the apostate church, and a greater number of those in the pulpit in the apostate church, United Church of the Antichrist, the Episcopal, are women. They're putting more and more women in. I would say a very large percentage of those women are also involved in witchcraft, are actually witches. But here now, is this something that we should say, woe is me, and be so absolutely disheartened and discouraged about, or is this something that we should say, there's never been a better time in the history of this world to place up crowns in heaven, because the darkness has never been greater, so there's never been a better opportunity for us to let our light shine very brightly. Which way?
Pastor Ernie, there's only one way, and that's let our light shine brightly and do everything we can do for the Lord. not well, to cower and hide, and all stand up for him, bring glory to his name.
All righty. Now, would you go over to, whose turn is it to read? Ron's?
Or is it mine would be 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel chapter 23. Ron, read verses 6 and 7.
But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with the fire in the same place.
Now, here, this is David's last words. It starts out in verse 1 by saying, now these be the last words of David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, now, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So here, the last things that David is saying to his men are, when you go out to take the Sodomites, the sons of Belial were Sodomites, and they were also the same ones, remember, with Jezebel and Ahab, when Jezebel needed some false prophets, some false witnesses, she called on the Sodomites, okay? And so here, David is telling you, when you take them, don't touch them with your hands. They can't be taken with your hands. You can't touch them with your hands. But you had to be fenced in with iron. In other words, you had to have shields, and in the shields you would have holes where you can run a spear or javelin through that. And wherever you went, after you slew the Sodomite, the LGBTQ of that day, the LGBTQ which are embraced today by the entire Democratic Party, embraces that sin, okay? It says, once you slew them, they had to be burned wherever they fell, right there where they fell, not to touch them. Why do you think that was?
They were unclean.
Because they were diseased. They were diseased, okay? And so here, I want you to go over, see now, this is what the Word of God teaches. This is what the left says that God got wrong. Now, they think God has time that God changes his position. Didn't God say he was immutable?
Yeah. The thing that always...
Pardon, John?
Yes, that's exactly right. Immutable.
Okay,
that's
turn...
Without changing.
He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever, okay? So Jesus said, the heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would stand. Does that mean that everything he said would happen exactly the way he said?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ came the first time, Pastor Ernie, exactly as the Bible prophesied he would come. Exactly. And he fulfilled many, many, many prophetic scriptures. And his second coming is going to be exactly like that. Heaven and hell is going to be exactly like the Bible tells us.
Well, by many on the left, Nietzsche was considered to be a great mind. Now, Nietzsche said that since God had created man in his image, that now through technology, man was going to return the favor and God would be what technology said he is. How does that work?
Man is very sinful, Pastor Ernie, and he's under the authority of God, who is working now through his, as the Bible says, his grace to redeem us through Jesus Christ. So this is God's world. This is the plan is unfolding that as God has it, not as man thinks he's going to control it.
Okay, so Jerry Nadler says that God has no voice and no place in Congress. That and when it comes to legislation, God will remain silent. What do you think of that?
Well, God is very merciful, Pastor Ernie, but he's not going to remain silent for if we continue on this trajectory. We'll hear from heaven.
There's, I'm having a debate with this godless person on Twitter, and it's probably about a week long, but if you just look at our founding documents, David Barton has a, it's called Wall Builders. It's a phenomenal collection of all our documents and what we've done. Congress actually commissioned a Bible to be printed and then handed out in schools and to the general public. And we give thanks to God at every turn, and then they pretend that the Establishment Clause forbids government from having anything to do with religion, but it's just the opposite. It protects religion from the federal government. But there's never been a constitution anywhere near as godly and Christian-like as the one that we created, 200-some years ago.
And the reason for that is it was created by Christians.
Yes.
Okay, so somebody go to 2 Kings 23. I think John, 2 Kings 23, and just read me verse 7.
Okay, 2
Kings, verse, chapter 23, verse 7.
23, verse 7. Okay, I'm there.
Go ahead and read it.
And he break down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove.
Okay, so here God had sent him out to go down and break down all the houses of the Sodomites and to run the Sodomites out because they were an abomination in his sight. Now,
well, can I add a little bit to that, Pastor Ernie?
Sure.
Notice it says that were by the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
So they had camped out on the Temple Mount, and they were bringing their sin right, was like in God's face.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's what it says in Isaiah chapter 5, where he talks about where they flaunt their sin in the face of God. Go ahead, Ron, and read 2 Samuel 23, verse 6 and 7.
Okay. One second. But the sons of Belial shall all of them as thorns thrust away because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of the spear, and they shall be utterly burned with the fire in the same place. So I think covered that.
No, yeah, that's 2 Kings we just did. I'm going to 2 Samuel 23.
That was 2 Samuel 23.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. I'm supposed to read Revelation 22:15, I believe.
Okay, well then we'll skip Romans tonight but go ahead and go right to Revelation 22 and read 15, and we'll have to stop there.
Okay. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
Okay, so he's talking from who are without what? The New Jerusalem, that's where God has built in my Father's houses are many mansions. So, but he's saying on the outside, in other words, he's saying who will never get in there are those. Now, when he's talking about murderers, he's talking about sorcerers. Would that be Big Pharma? Today?
Yeah, Pharmakia.
Pharmakia. So today, all these people that are dying, being killed off with these false vaccinations, and they're not vaccinations at all. They're bioweapons that are being used to kill people and make people sick, okay? So you got sorcerers, you've got the dogs are sodomites. That's the fourth time that is used here. Another place that's used is in 1 Peter, where it talks about a dog returns to his vomit, okay? That's, again, is referring to sodomites here. And so then he talks about all of those that make a lie there. And none of those people will ever make it into heaven, will they?
Nope. Outside looking in.
Okay. All righty. We will be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Big John. Big John. Ooh. He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame, but John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big Baptist John.
Big Baptist John.
All righty, we're back. And, John, we've been talking for a long time, a lot of people are, about going to taking our country back, starting with our own county. Where in our county we can have constitutional counties where the highest authority in that county would be the county sheriff, and with the ability to keep those federal agents that have turned against us, the American people. And we see that today. The federal government has been weaponized by the Communist Party, the Antichrist system, against us. We see the FBI being weaponized against pro-lifers now, and we see it against parents. They wanted to destroy the family unit. The good news is there. You've got a lot of people that are jumping ship out of the FBI now, and that's very, very good news. Same thing with the DOJ, and that's good news. But we're going to go to the Reese Report and listen. I played this a couple of times, but I'm going to play it again because, well, just listen. What he has to say makes a whole lot of sense. So take her away, Craig.
We Americans are under attack by our own government. We the people have no choice but to once again defend our freedom. This has all happened before, and we can learn much from the American Revolution. Starting in 1763, to pay for debts incurred from a war with France, the British began enforcing new taxes on the American colonies. In response to this, the colonies set up their own parallel government, based on a simple structure of three committees delegated to voice the will of the people. A committee of correspondence to disseminate information. A committee of inspection to enforce Continental Congress decisions. and the most important of the three, a committee of safety to act as general executive in the absence of legal authority. These committees stemmed from each community of all the colonies, and each and every local committee of safety had two missions: to provide military support and monitor political affairs. Each community delegated its own representatives to speak on their behalf at the county level and then at the state level, where state legislatures are thereby formed and senators are elected to represent the overall interests of the people in that state. With these committees, the 13 colonies honorably created a parallel government that lawfully nullified British rule. This compelled the crown to take it back by force, which was met by an honorable and lawful defense of the colonies, known as the American Revolution. The three-committee structure that made up this parallel government inspired our U.S. Constitution, a concept of government based upon delegation. Individuals were not elected to rule. Their only purpose was to facilitate and implement the will of the people. It was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Each state was considered to be its own country, which was freely subordinating aspects of its own authority to a federal government. Lawfully speaking, this has never changed, but the federal government of the United States has become bloated with loyalists to the City of London and enemies of We the People. For well over a century, We the People have been coerced into becoming voluntary slaves to a multinational corporate power structure, which has increasingly dumbed us down more and more with each generation. Unconstitutional amendments have been enacted. Constitutional limits of representation have been ignored. And by accepting Federal Reserve banknotes, we have made ourselves a dishonorable nation of debtors. By continually contracting with the corporate U.S. being operated out of the Washington, D.C. city-state, Americans are perpetually surrendering their constitutional sovereignty in return for corporate benefits. We share a common enemy with our founding fathers. Today we call them globalists. Back then, they called them British, a foreign power exploiting the will and destiny of Americans. And back then, their remedy was the Committee of Safety. This is happening again today. Communities are forming their own committees of safety. An excellent example is Santa Rosa County, Florida, where the Recall Florida movement sprang from, which seeks to empower the citizens of Florida with the ability to recall county commissioners for corruption, malfeasance, and neglect of duty. The county sheriff is charged with upholding the supreme law of the Constitution, and with your county government in line with your county sheriff, citizens of that county will have the lawful parallel government they need to liberate themselves from contracts made with the corporate U.S., because the powers held by the sheriff supersede those of any government official when in the jurisdiction of that county. The PSYOP today is meant to make you feel dependent upon the federal government, but that has always been your choice, and it's not the only choice. You can contact your local sheriff and ask him about his oath to uphold the Constitution. You can form committees of safety, and you can lawfully purge your local government of corruption. But it requires action, and time is quickly running out. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Well, you know, he's got it exactly right.
Yep.
Wanted to announce, speaking of that, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, which would be what I believe the 7th, we're going to have the Tea Party meeting. Geauga County Tea Party will be meeting, and Jim McNeil, who gave an excellent presentation at our church on the actual factual of what they call climate change. And, I mean, you know, here you go. He shows you, here it is, here's the reality, to show you this whole thing is another hoax, another scam by Al Gore and all those, and John Kerry and all those that want to get rich, making more money. They keep getting richer and richer with all of their schemes. And so this will be this coming Sunday, And I think he starts that at about 3:30. About 3:30, at Doers of the Word Baptist. No. This would be Tuesday.
Tuesday.
He already did it Sunday, yeah.
The video of his speech last week will be on the website.
All right. So they can go to WRWL.org and see that.
And go into the blog section.
Right. So he will be at the Geauga County Tea Party, and that's there at the Metzenbaum Center at 6:30. And the Metzenbaum Center is right on Sperry Road.
Or
Cedar Road, not Sperry Road. I'm sorry. Yeah, Sleepy.
Yes.
It's right on Cedar Road, and it's about 1/4 mile west of Route 306, about 1/4 mile west of Route 306, and that's in Chesterland, Ohio. Cedar Road, 1/4 mile west of 306. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't have the address. I thought I had it here, but I don't. But anyhow, and that starts at 6:30. This coming Tuesday, and he's going to be putting on a presentation, and he'll have some others with him doing that. So, folks, you really want to see it. You really want to be there to see that, because it shows you what we've known here for the longest time. Now, with saying that, I wanted to say this, too. We have Salem Communications have made us an offer, and that offer, John, is this. If we can pay an additional $100,000 by May, then they will reduce, Salem will reduce our current bill by $50,000. Do you hear this, folks? Now, what that means is that we'll be able to probably put all those six stations back on the air, okay? If we can reduce that, now, and so I'm just going to make this announcement, and we're not going to really speak too much more about it until Pledge Week. Now, then we have a pledge. We have a pledge come from one of our patriots out of Oregon, and that patriot out of Oregon has pledged $25,000 if we can find a match to pledge by Pledge Week. If we can find a matching pledge of $25,000, he will send us $25,000 by Pledge Week. So there you go. Now, with that, John, there's only one radio program that I know of, only one, that has been telling you, when we keep hearing about how Biden gave $85 billion worth of military equipment away, there's only one radio program that have said he never gave it away, that he was compensated for, you know, for selling us out, for selling America out, okay? Here's an article out of the Gateway Pundit. Pentagon Inspector General says Joe Biden is hiding classified documentation detailing side deals he made with Taliban against U.S. troop. And I want to go here. So this is what we've been telling you. These criminal crime families don't do anything without getting richer. We went through how we saw the Clinton crime family, how no matter what everything they were involved with, we saw what they did during the earthquake in Haiti, how they got richer and richer off that, scamming the people and all of the things. And now, and the Biden crime families have been, they're infamous for money laundering, selling America to China. We saw Hillary sold 25% of our uranium to Russians, you know. And so here now, the Biden crime family, the Pentagon's Inspector General for Afghanistan complains a new report on the Biden regime is hiding classified annexes dealing with side deals that Biden made with the Taliban before withdrawing, including restrictions on U.S. fighting and Taliban counter efforts. In other words, he put a muzzle on our people, on our soldiers, wouldn't let them do their job. And then, of course, he got the Biden crime family gets a little bit richer, or a lot richer, I should say. And we were the first ones to break that, to tell you about that. Okay, and so, what do you have there, Ron?
This is on the Department of Justice, and they indicted 8 pro-life activists for obstructing justice at a Michigan abortion clinic. and a federal grand jury accused them of blocking access to an abortion clinic, and they actually cited it's the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, and they noted that they're engaging in a civil rights conspiracy for preventing, you know, protesting abortion. It, pretty much civil rights have devolved into civil wrongs at this point. It's just horrible what they're doing with that now.
Yeah, it's tyranny. It's absolute tyranny by an organization that has no longer has any legitimacy.
Yep.
The FBI, you don't have to recognize it anymore at all as any kind of legitimacy at all. They've completely destroyed their reputation, and as far as I'm concerned, they're no different than a drug gang or whatever.
We're basically a third world country at this point.
They've lost all credibility. Yeah. Thank you, Christopher Ray. And now, also, what they've just done recently, John, what they've just recently done is the Biden regime is, the so-called Justice Department is saying that they've got a special task force to investigate those that have gone to the homes and intimidated the Supreme Court justices, that there's a special task force now to prevent harassment. But are they going after burn, loot, and murder, Black Lives Matter, or are they going after Antifa, the people that were doing it, the people that actually protest? No, they're going after pro-lifers. They're saying it's pro-lifers, okay? So, again, it shows you another example of the FBI losing all legitimacy and all credibility amongst the American people. We just look at them as a bunch of thugs, huh?
Jackbooted thugs.
Jackbooted thugs, yeah. Now, I do want to say, look, because I had friends in the FBI, and there still are a lot of good people in the FBI there. Unfortunately, they're not making the high ranks. And what's happening now, people are going to start going, not just hauling in those from the top. From what I understand, Jim Jordan's going to start going down through the ranks, pulling people in, more and more whistleblowers. They're going to try to, really going to try, and we got to pray for Jim Jordan and that to clean that up. And so, and those people like Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland, especially Merrick Garland, they need to go to prison. They need to be in that same dirty D.C. jail where the Christian patriots are today, huh?
Pastor Ernie, I want to comment about this guy Garland. He was slated to become a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, I know that. He actually said he was so angry, he made statements about getting even with Trump, that he would get even with Trump.
Yeah, so can you imagine him as a Supreme Court justice? I mean, we know what he's like. It's exposed what he's like. And he would be totally corrupt. Well,
he is totally corrupt.
As a judge, as a Supreme Court judge, he would be bought and sold. He would be bought. They'd own him.
If he wasn't totally corrupt, Biden never would have appointed him.
Exactly.
Biden wanted someone. He wanted a dirty cop to cover his crimes. Someone who was dirty. Someone who was bought and paid for. And that's exactly how they got Merrick Garland. He's bought and paid for. Alrighty. Speaking of something here, the rich getting richer. Renowned Harvard professor of medicine trolls woke vaccine facilities during a House roundtable on COVID policies. Dr. Martin Kulldruff, he's a Harvard University professor of medicine, and he is making a mockery out of the woke movement, out of Fauci and Garland and all of these that pushed what we stood against all along. But let me just read you the article. He effectively mocked vaccine zealots during a House Select Subcommittee roundtable, which was analyzing COVID-19 policy decisions this past Tuesday. Kulldruff is a renowned biostatistician and an epidemiologist who possesses expertise in detecting and monitoring infectious disease outbreaks and vaccine safety evaluations. He also co-authored the Great Barrington Declaration, and it'll be, you know, from now on when we refer to that, it's the GBD, the Great Barrington Declaration, which criticizes the harmful impacts of the draconian government policies on the public. He and his two other Great Barrington Declaration co-authors, Dr. Sunutra Gupta and Dr. J. Bachera, instead advocated for protecting the vulnerable and letting healthy individuals live normal lives by rejecting their common sense measures. Politicians around the world ruined billions of lives. During the subcommittee roundtable, Koldreff discussed the issues with the universal COVID vaccination and the virtues of natural immunity with Representative Mariana Miller Meeks. He goes on to say, Koldreff, by forcing children to have vaccines they don't need because they've already had the disease, that undermines the trust in other vaccines like measles vaccines or polio vaccines. That is very, very serious. I'm against all those vaccines, okay? Over the last several decades, we've had the anti-vaccine people, that's us, try to undermine trust in vaccines, but with rare success. But the vaccine fanatics who want to vaccinate every single person in the country, even though they are good, they are people who have already had COVID, that has undermined the trust in vaccines and created enormous vaccine hesitancy. Miller Meeks, who not allowing their provider to or physician to determine the risk and the benefit. Koldreff, yay, and also people themselves, because people know about immunity. We learned that in school. People know that if you've had a disease, Miller Meeks mocking vaccine fanatics, it wasn't until I came to Congress that I found out infection-acquired immunity was a novel concept. So Koldreff, yeah, I guess we knew about it since about 430 B.C., the Antoninian Plague, until 2020. We didn't know about it for 3 years, and now we know about it again. In other words, he's talking about all of what they've thrust upon us, everything that we've told them right from the beginning. Folks, this is a scam. It's not real. This is a Fauci. Fauci's making tons and tons of money off of this. Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, was saying today that Fauci needs to go to prison. And they do. All of these people that were involved.
Done.
Yeah. Because of all the people that have died.
Yeah.
We've seen.
They've vaccinated hundreds of millions of people. And now the fact that natural immunity is better than the vaccination, the risk of mRNA with myocarditis is significant. The founder of that, Dr. Robert Malone, actually confirmed this. He was banned on Twitter. They let him back on Twitter, and now he's been vindicated.
We've had him on this program about four times. So
yeah.
He tells you very well, very clearly, it's not a vaccine. No. It's a bioweapon. All right, we're coming up to a break. We come back after the break. Boy, we have a lot more to cover. Get ready. There's more to come. Get ready with your good stuff, Big John.
Be right back. I'm ready.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. Feel the land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.